message on breakthrough blockers. Anybody have dealt with like some frustration over a lack of breakthrough in your life? Yes. Well, I will not give you a formula today, but I am definitely going to teach on it, and you can have a conversation with the Lord, and he'll show you what's going on. So let me think here. All right, how many people have had a clogged pipe in your house besides me? Okay. All right, so in my 20s, how many people learned so many lessons in your 20s? And also, I was in my 20s without Facebook. Yes, they weren't documented. So in my 20s, I had a roommate that was a little older than me, and she bought an older house. So how many know that sometimes when you buy a new house, you don't always know how to do things? So we found out with this old house came some plumbing problems. All right, so with these plumbing issues, you know, two young women in a house, we were trying to figure out what the source was, but we couldn't quite figure out the problem. So what do? You just buy lots of Drano. And you just dump so much money in Drano down the toilet, and you kind of get a little bit of a temporary fix, right? And I became very close friends with a plunger, and I learned I have really great plunger form. Like, also, I've been doing youth ministry for 17 years, and it is ridiculous what youth and girls can do to bathrooms. So very experienced in plunging. So we were having a birthday party, and it was packed out with guests. And all of a sudden, the entire plumbing system decided to back up. And no one tells us. No one tells us until we go into the bathroom and notice that both bathtubs have filled up with sludge. Both sinks filled up with sludge and toilets with sludge. And we're just going to leave that, you know, just let your mind linger. And this is women, and we are mortally embarrassed. And it would definitely put a damper on the party. So what do? You call the plumber. So we called the plumber to investigate, and he got all of his professional tools. He had, you know, the grinding snake. Anybody know what that long thing is? They shove down the plumbing and the hydrojet and all that stuff to push out those stubborn clogs. And when they pulled that snake out, there were really awkward, embarrassing things wrapped around it, and we got a lecture, a very loving lecture from the adoptive uncle, the plumber. Have you ever had just a wonderful man of God just talk to you with love and respect, but gave you like a well-known, like, you need some wisdom in your life? And he quickly explained, not everything that the world calls flushable is flushable. How many people figured this out, right? You know, it says on the packages, you know, like, it's flushable. No, it's a lie. It is not. Because if you are abusing your drain pipes on a regular basis, it's going to get clogged. All right, so everybody's kind of laughing, but, you know, this lightens up the story for where we're going to go here. So then also, by the way, we did repent. Repent means to change your ways. It's not, I'm so sorry that we have a large plumbing bill, right? How many parents have, you know, kids are going to say they're sorry because they made a mess. But if they keep making the same mess, they're not repenting, because repenting means change your ways. So my roommate and I, we changed our ways, and then you had to worry about what you call guests coming over. Because you may change your ways, but the people that you invite into your life aren't. And you need to guard your plumbing, because they might flush some things going on that's going to cause some problems. All right, so where are we going with this? You know, there's a lot of things that people say are not going to clog your pipes. There's a lot of things people say you can handle. But over time, what goes in can really cause a lot of problems. You know, whether it's our little habitual sins, you know, our bad habits that everybody says, oh, it's okay, I do that too. Our trash talk, our gossip, judgment, criticism, holding on to anger and bitterness will affect you and will clog sometimes you receiving and hearing what God is speaking in your life. I'm so glad Mike actually shared the context of that scripture, because I was taught that in Bible school. You have to read the context. Because given, it will be given unto you in an overflowing amount, context of judgment and forgiveness. Man, you keep pouring that out, what's going to happen? It's going to kick back and blow up in your face. So today it is time, and yes, we'll use some great stories, to clean our house and to clean our pipes so we can clearly hear from the Holy Spirit, the divine plumber. Yes, he is the divine plumber. And we're going to get some fresh flow of Holy Spirit so we can hear him and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, he's always moving. You know, people are like, oh, God, move. Oh, God, come. He is always moving. He is always here. It's, are we moving with him or are we blocking what he wants to do? Right? Think about it. You know, we sing these songs, and in our heart, really, when we say, come, Holy Spirit, it's to release him to do whatever you want. Holy Spirit, you have full freedom. In our church and in our lives, we let you do whatever you want, right? Whatever you want to. Beauty of that. So how to receive breakthrough, promises, blessing, answered prayer, healing, freedom. We're going to talk about that today. Because if you do a little research on plumbing, if you don't get rid of those clogged pipes over time, we can have a lot of problems. I did a little research on the plumbing websites. So if you don't work and get through that clogged pipe, that backup can cause mold. Anybody know what mold does? Okay. It can stink up your whole house. And not only that, they actually can make you sick. Did you know that? Clogged pipes can actually make you sick because you can have an allergic reaction and cause nausea, headaches, skin irritation, asthma, allergies. So the moment you identify a clogged pipe, you need to get her done, right? I need to call some help and get it fixed. So I'm going to say this. There are certain things in life, natural things and spiritual things, that can hinder your emotional, mental, and physical health, healing, and us even walking in freedom and health in our relationships. Raise your hand if you've learned that lesson, right? Lessons learned. But when we get so blocked up with so much negative stuff in our heart, it starts to burst out and overflow out of our mouth and our actions. So Luke 6:45 says this, "For out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks." What you say flows from what is in your heart. So when we have clogged pipes, it causes the crud of our lives to start bursting out, especially in times of stress and conflict. And it can get that ugly. How many people got that little ugly side, you know, when you become your worst self under stress? Yes, yes. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're good at keeping it on the inside. You understand? You know, having those mumbling conversations at work. But then you get so much shoved down that it starts to blow up and your ugly comes out on everyone around you. Besides myself, come on, y'all, right? And then it hurts not only ourselves, but it actually hurts the relationships around us. But guess what? We're all cleaning our pipes together. Because when I wrote this message, I did a lot of repenting. It's good. It's good when your pastor repents. It means I get healthier, our church gets healthier. So we're in this together, right? All right, so a quick review of last week. Sin, when we get into continual sin, it can create inroads of access for demonic influence, right? We learned that we have a choice, that we can yield, remember that yield sign, to the stranger's voice, that external voice. But we can then choose, it's our choice then, if we hear that voice, to cycle and obsess. Because when you start cycling and obsessing and talking to everyone around you and you don't take your thoughts captive, it drills deeper into your mind and your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. And that damages your life, your career, your emotional and mental health. If you are looking for a breakthrough in your life, in your career, in your relationships, and your overall physical health, emotional health, we're going to examine what might be clogging our pipes. All right, here, let me put another one, and I'll probably get into this the next time I teach, but have you ever felt really blocked and frustrated and delayed in your life? I went through very long seasons going, my mom would just, "Sherry, stop saying you're so frustrated." But I would just be like, "I'm so frustrated." It was like 2 years. Everything came out of my mouth. "I'm so frustrated." Have you ever felt lost or the modern generation calls meh? You guys know what meh is? It's that just apathetic meh. Maybe you're just plain miserable and you can just call it like it is. You feel like you're going nowhere fast. You lost the wind in your sails, stuck in the doldrums, or just plain having a really hard time hearing from God. Anyone gone through a prolonged season like this besides myself? Okay. Felt like you're just surrounded by opposition pressing in from every side, and you desperately need a breakthrough, but you don't know how. I can't even do it in 1 week, so I'm going to get to cover two aspects of this. But why we're doing this, this is not a formula, but these are things you can pray about, and the Lord will reveal them to you. I am asking you to start a conversation with Holy Spirit. So I want to say the very first thing you need to do is ask the divine plumber, Holy Spirit, to inspect the pipes. Inspect my life. Ask him to search your heart. And the thing is, when you ask God to search your heart, that means you got to lay it all open. That means all your relationships, all that ugly, all those little skeletons in the closet. Psalms 139, verse 23 through 24. David said this. He said, "Search me thoroughly, O God." That's not one little flippant sentence during worship. That means a prolonged conversation you're having with him. "Search me thoroughly, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and concerns. See if there is anything grievous, something that breaks your heart, God," right? anything offensive or hurtful in me hurts myself, hurts other people, right? And lead me in the everlasting way. Lord, help me to change my ways. This is the lay yourself on the altar and let him do some surgery. You know, sometimes we're afraid of surgery because we're afraid it might hurt. But getting that nasty little cancer out of you will save your life. And we got to just say, God, I put myself on the altar. Every area of my life, the stuff I don't even want to talk about, you have access to because it's going to make me healthy and it's going to make the relationships in my life healthy. It's going to bring fruit to my life. They might be hard talks, but they're good. John 16, verse 13 says this. It says, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, the full truth, the complete truth, and he will disclose to you what is to come. If you feel like there's just something blocking your breakthrough, maybe you feel like you keep falling into the same ruts over and over and over again, falling into the same unhealthy relationships, going around the mountain is not fun. Especially if you've been going around the mountain a couple years, but we got to break through the mountain. The Lord will show you what to do. My job is not to tell you what the Lord is speaking. My job is to get you connected with him, right? Because I don't know everything that's going on in your life. Sometimes the Holy Spirit operates and he'll reveal something, but really you're going to hear best for your life. I want you to go into the secret place and I support you in it. All right, so sometimes it's natural stuff. And sometimes it is spiritual stuff. And I'm trying to cover that each week because I've heard people go into extremes and we just got to find a little balance and examine both sides, right? So sometimes it is spiritual and sometimes the Holy Spirit will reveal a demonic assignment against your life. And the Lord has given us these gifts. So 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9 actually talks about the gifts, and I'm going to touch on two of them today. One is the gift of the discerning of spirits. And one is the gift of a word of knowledge. And both of them will unmask a demonic assignment against you. If a demon is just coming after you, it's God's way of showing you what's up. Don't you love when someone's like, hey, this is what's up? Okay? He has given us gifts to do this. But I will say this, and I'm going to weave these in my series because you got to hit both sides. Sometimes we want it so bad to be a spiritual thing, and it's really just a natural thing that we just don't want to do. Sometimes we just don't want to change our ways because it's uncomfortable. It involves apologizing and not, you know, going off on people and yelling at them when you got a bad day. So repentance, once again, means to change your ways. So we'd rather sometimes blame demons for our just lack of self-control. Just truth. Instead of listening and obeying, also, this is a hard one. This is really going to come down to your physical bodies. If you are having problems in your physical body and you want to keep blaming the devil, I want to tell you this, you have to take care of your body and you need to obey the doctor's orders. Otherwise, your family's going to be really mad at you, and I'll be real with you, some of your kids are going to get mad at God and never come back to church because you didn't take ownership for your life in the natural areas. Raise your hand if you've learned this. There's the spiritual side that we are called to do, get in faith and receive healing, but there is the natural side. God has told us to obey wisdom. I've been reading, and I'll maybe do it the next time I preach, but it says wisdom cries out in the streets. Have you ever just screamed wisdom at someone with they're not going to listen to you, but like you're like, please, just listen to wisdom. Please, please. It's just really simple. If you keep spending money, you're not going to have enough to pay. You know, please, 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 take your vitamins. Eat green vegetables. Yes, they do exist. Okay, and you know, go on a walk and obey what your doctor says. Why? Because wisdom's yelling at you because we're praying for healing, but we got to do the natural side too. Everybody say amen. I like easy answers sometimes. Sometimes it's just a really simple thing. All right, so there is no formula. Pastor Sherry is not going to give you a formula. You know, the world loves formulas because they don't have to hang out with Jesus. They don't. They can just follow step A, B, and C and get to, you know, the next thing. But Jesus wants to hang out with you. So there's no formula here. Every individual case is different. But you have to get in the Word and get in that place of worship connected with him so you can get hearing what he's trying to tell you. I want to say this. Also, it is really important to get a prayer partner and maybe a spiritual leader in your life that actually knows you. So I'll tell you, I have people that they say they come to church here, and I see them on Christmas and Easter, and I'm so excited to see them, but they call me once a month, and they're like, oh, I don't know what's going on, and this, and this, and this. I'm like, number one, please get in the Word. Read Ephesians every day. Start spending time with the Lord, and get in a grow group, and get accountable, because I'll tell you, if Lord's saying, just reel it back. Yes, Lord, I got it. It's hard sometimes to pastor people that aren't going to just put that time in with the Lord. My job is to lead you to him, not to be him in your life. Okay? That's when pastors get off track and hurt people. Okay? So my job is to get you to him. So the thing is, when you have a prayer partner or a relationship with a spiritual leader that you respect, because, you know, a lot of people, they want to talk to you, but they don't want to change you. So it's the moment you point something out like, hey, you know what, this is a hidden area of sin in your life. I'm leaving the church. Don't touch that blind spot in my life. So I want to say this, please get in a grow group. You're less likely to leave the church, and they'll tell you the same thing I'll tell you. It works. We all have blind spots in our life. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan is the god of this world, and he has blinded people's minds. Why do you need close friends that are following hard after God? Yes, you can have close friends but aren't following after God. Is that going to help you? That's called a ministry. Friends are running in the same direction as you after God. Show me your top 5 people that you spend your time with, and I will show you exactly where your life is going. Oh. Friends build you up, hold you accountable, get you in the word. Everyone else is a ministry, but if you're not strong enough to minister to your ministry, you need to reevaluate where all your time's going until you get strong enough to influence them. All right, 1 Corinthians 4:5. The Lord will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the motives of your heart. We often don't want to have certain conversations with God, which is why we don't open up the Bible. Because it's just going to reveal things. But you don't have to fear what the light reveals, because whatever the light reveals, he heals. Do you hear me? Like, if he reveals something, he'll heal it. You know, when you do like an X-ray or an MRI, you know the great thing about doing that and working with your doctors and not against them? It's going to reveal what's going on. And you can go, God, this is what's going on. You're the healer. I receive your healing right now in Jesus' name. Whatever the light reveals of his presence, he'll heal it if you give it to him. So when you saturate yourself in his word, in the place of worship, when you're just staying connected with him all day long, he will expose those motives of your heart, but it's not a bad thing. It's healing. Healing feels good. When you're sick, how do you feel? Terrible, tired, exhausted, grumpy. But when I'm healthy, I'm feeling good. It's the road to health. Hebrews 4:12, Amplified Bible says this, for the word of God is living, active, full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And it will divide what's in your soul, what's the me side, and spirit. Isn't that kind of cool? God's going to reveal what's going on, both sides of it. And joints and marrow, and the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intention of our heart. James 1:23 says the word is a mirror to us. And when we spend time in the word, the Lord's going to just show things in our lives. But here's this, if you take action on it, he heals it right up and you'll remember who you really are. But if you go to church and smile and nod and don't take action on it, we forget who we are. So I just want to encourage a time of, yes, right before the holidays, fasting. You're like, what? I'm not saying you have to fast turkey. I'm saying distractions. You know, I was having a conversation with my cousin, and he's like, social media is just so consuming. Maybe just take a week or even 2 weeks. They actually say a short-term change, that's 30 days. They say a long-term change, I think it's like 64 days, and that's when it actually will change your life. But if you can fast those distractions that captivate us, that pull our attention in things that really God's not in, it's going to get a lot easier to hear. And then Habakkuk 2, verses 2 through 3 says, write the vision and make it plain so you can run with it. Because if you don't write it down, are you really going to do it? If you don't have action steps, remember, change your ways means you got to have a plan. You got to have a clear, measurable plan. We learn this in business. If you have a business plan, it has to be clear and it has to be measurable. Otherwise, you can't see the change a year or two later, right? So if you don't want to go back to your old ways, you got to write a plan. And sometimes it involves how much time you can spend with people that pull you down a dark path. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean you cut them off, but how much time can you handle till you go down that dark path? How much time can you handle with your old best friend that is the queen of gossip? maybe 15 minutes. So you do phone calls and then you go on to work because, oh, I got to go, I'm at work. You know, it just gives you a solid 15 minutes. You're not lying and you don't go down to trash talk. You got to get a plan until you can overcome the things that clog your pipes. All right. So when we repent, which means change our ways and saturate ourselves in the word, repentance shuts the door to Satan's attack, right? And then when we saturate ourselves in the word, it locks it. All right, so renewing your mind is super important. Romans 12, 1 through 2, and then I'm going to get into it. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. I am begging you. Remember, like wisdom is crying out in the streets. Listen, I am pleading with you to give your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set yourselves apart as a living sacrifice, right? Because of all God has done for us, let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. It's the least we can do, right? Don't conform and copy the behavior and customs of this world, but renew your mind. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And you'll learn how to know God's will for your life, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. You know, a lot of breakthroughs, we just need the Holy Spirit to download some wisdom, right? Are you looking for a breakthrough in your business? The Lord knows the answer. But if we can spend time with him, I mean, we can Google everything out there, and it's overwhelming, all the answers out there, right? But God knows the answer that's going to work for you and your situation, your relationship, your business. And he's going to speak to you. He will show you his good and perfect will. What sharpens our ears is saturating ourselves in his presence. He's always talking. Stuff clogs our pipes. Let's see here. Getting involved in an accountability group or a friend that once again knows you and you respect that you pray with daily helps you to, kicks you out to walk on water. That means take risks. Jesus took risks, right? Peter took risks. And you know, they talk about sometimes you got to burn your boat so you don't go back. Helps you not go back to those old ways. All right, now I'm going to get into it. You guys ready? Today we are going to examine and identify some common blockers that could be. I'm not telling it's it. There's a bunch of them. I had time to knock two off. I have like a bunch more. I'll leave it at that. So the Holy Spirit, you have to ask him to reveal to you any blockers to your breakthrough. But I want to tell you the number one that I have. It's throughout the Bible and the number one I've seen in ministry. Number one problem and breakthrough blocker is unforgiveness. Oh, I hate when you talk about this. That's okay. I had to talk about it with the Lord and he revealed two people that I still have still, it's been years. And he's like, yeah, when their names come up, you go, So that means it's still well in there. So I got to keep working on it. All right. So unforgiveness can block emotional and physical healing. It can block receiving it, right? Jesus has given it. It's the matter of receiving it. When we forgive people truly in our heart, it demolishes those roadblocks to answered prayers and blessings that he has for us. So I want to say this. I want you to examine your life, and when you've started to feel blocked, when things in your life got unhealthy, right? We know when we became our worst self. We know when we started getting unhealthy in certain relationships, maybe in the way we're interacting, maybe just we became miserable and like our emotional temperature controls the entire family. When did that start? And start talking to the Lord about that season in your life and go, God, do I need to forgive someone? What kind of caused that in my life? What caused me to be unhealthy? What started blocking certain things? Did someone hurt me, betray me, disappoint me? Do I still have a bad attitude towards someone? Do I still get riled up when their name comes to mention? I had to work on this. It's okay. I will say this, demons normally try to influence the people closest to you. If they can't get to you, they're going to get to the people around you. And yes, there will be plenty of opportunity to forgive people the rest of your life every day. Every day. Because the people that hurt you the deepest are the ones closest to you. But why does he do that? Because he wants to gain a foothold. Remember, I've talked about this. So Ephesians 4, 26 through 27 says this, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. So if someone's trying to break into your house, you know, watch those movies, right? And they have the little locks at the top, right? And someone pushes the door open, that lock happens, but what happens? You can try to shove that door shut, but what happens? They put their foot in there, and it keeps the door open. When we hold on to people's hurts, offenses, betrayals, disappointments towards us, it keeps access so Satan can, what John 10:10 says this, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Any area of your life he can get his claws in. Finances, relationships, reputation, whatever it may be, he wants to steal. So this number one thing, I want to say this, is really examining your heart. And forgiveness really is a process. I want to talk about this. But when we choose to, what's talking about, it's not just going to bed angry one night, but it's holding on to things. When we choose to hold on to things, things start to fester. You know what fester means, right? Things get really toxic. They fester. And what when something starts festering, a wound, right? When something gets toxic, it starts to eat into you. How many things have just eaten you up in certain areas? And it causes holes. And these holes are demonic inroads for influence, where Satan wants to attack, and sometimes he can attach to your body or your soul, your mind, your will, or your emotions. And sometimes that can block a breakthrough. It could be a financial breakthrough that you're praying for. Maybe just things aren't going well with the business. Things aren't going well in your marriage. Things with your kid is just blowing up. There might be a demonic assignment that's trying to, he can't stop God, but he can block you receiving it. We receive things by faith, right? So if there is something that could be hindering you walking in total freedom and total healing and in health in your relationships and your body, and it's not always the case, do you hear me? But these are one of the many things we can examine. So I want to just use a really simple example. If you're driving along, minding your own business, and someone hits your car, how many people, that's a bad day? Okay? Sometimes a bad week, and by the time your insurance works it out, maybe a bad couple months. But let's just say you had some whiplash, and maybe that whiplash is just going on and on and on, and that pain is lingering you, and you're like, man, why is this just keep going on? I would say this, examine, have you forgiven the person that hit you? Truth. How do you know you forgive them? You're not talking about them all the time. You're not blaming them all the time, because when we're what? When we start cycling and obsessing, it creates a foothold for Satan to steal. You know, they say the worst thing if you are fighting any sort of sickness, what? Even the common cold, is stress. It is. We can't control people. I wish we could sometimes. We can't control people. We can only control our reaction and our response to them. Examine your heart. I'm not saying it's always it. I'm just saying sometimes it's part of it. I will say this, when it comes to forgiveness, we can't afford to hold people to a different standard than we hold ourselves. We can't afford to hold other people to a different standard than we hold ourselves. We laugh because I do it. We all do it every day. The truth, Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, people will sin against you every day. People are people-y. People stink. It just comes with the territory. You want to live like in a little cabin in the woods on like a commune, you will have to, squirrels will make you mad. Someone will make you mad and you will have to forgive, okay? If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse, refuse means defiant, I'm not going to go there. Doesn't mean you start the process. It is a process of forgiveness, especially really deep, unhealthy abuses and betrayals, right? It's not an overnight thing. It is a faith thing. It's a process. But when you straight up refuse to start that process, if you refuse to forgive others, it says your Father will not forgive your sins. We want God to forgive us all our sins. We want saved from that soul-crushing sense of just internal, like, self-hatred, torment, regret, shame. Do you know shame will eat you alive? We want God to forgive us, right? And Jesus took shame to the cross. It actually says it was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. But we have to do the same for others. So someone may have hurt you tremendously, stole your girlfriend, ran off in high school, and you're still talking about it. Dude, no one wants to sit beside you at Thanksgiving anymore. You're still talking about high school. Move on. All right, so we have to do the same thing for other people, which means, ready for this? Debt is terrible. Debt can be a noose around your neck. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no account. You know that little scorecard you keep against people that have disappointed you? Oh, there they did it again, and they did it back in 1972, and then they did it again in 1964, and they were wearing this dress in this outfit, and then they did it. We keep this account, this scorecard. Okay, it says love keeps no account. You have to erase the sin debt. You know, they're shredding it, but you'll tape it all back together. Come on, you just need an excuse, okay? Erase it, delete it, double delete it, erase the trash file. You can't go back and dig it up. You have to move on. You just have to move on. Otherwise, it will eat you up. How many people know? It will fester. It'll eat you up. It will affect your health. It'll affect your stress. It will make you your ugliest version of yourself, and it can completely destroy a family event. And you can't control the person, so you will have to move on. I have to work on this myself. All right, so forgiveness is a choice, a daily decision. It doesn't mean it's easy, and it doesn't mean you get a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart every time you see them. Okay, I joke, but like, what is forgiveness, okay? All right, I will say this, forgiveness does not make what they did to you okay. Hear me. I can forgive someone, and I'm not justifying, sin is sin, nasty is nasty, abuse, God does not want you abused, ever. Jesus took abuse to the cross so you wouldn't suffer from it. It doesn't make it okay. What it says is this, is, I'll also say this, and I'll go into it. When you forgive someone, it doesn't mean you have to let them back in your life. Is that okay to say that? They will spend all of eternity their best self when Jesus like helps them just, you know what I mean, recreates them in their best version. But right now, you can't change them. God does not want you to be abused. So you don't have to let them back into your life or keep them close to you, and you can still truly forgive them. It is a process. How do you know this? I want to say this. You have to stop trying to change the person or force an apology. That is their free will choice. You can't do it. I'll say this. You have to sometimes just picture in your heart that offense, that hurt, the horrific thing they did to you, nailed to the cross, and let it go so Jesus can heal you. So that sin that they did against you does not control you, define you, shape you, mold you. Because how many know when you hold on to those things, it can make you really ugly in life, even aggressive. It can even block God using other people in your life. Because maybe a male figure did something horrific to you, and then you won't let any other male figure in your life, and God wants to use that person. Be very careful of inner vows that we make. I'll cover it in a different week. I will never, ever, ever again let myself be very careful, right? Give it to God. Let him heal you. You know, God has given us grace. It is divine empowerment to do what we cannot do in our own strength. It is received by faith. It is not something you can do. I'm telling you, things that have happened to us is not something you can naturally just give to God, let go, and move on. You need supernatural help, and God will give you the grace to do it. Receive it by faith. You have to forgive people by faith. It takes time. It takes effort to redirect your thoughts. Remember that baseball bat? You have to swing down and crack every flashback. I'm telling you, flashbacks are real. God, I forgive them by faith because I'm letting it go. And God, I think you take that memory to the cross. I don't want to dwell on it. Lord God, I am moving forward. My life is rich in you. The glory of my latter days will be greater than my former. You have to give that trauma, the pain, the betrayal, the disappointment to Jesus. And I'm telling you, picture it nailed to the cross. You know, forgiveness removes the toxic mountain of these just toxic thoughts that can damage your personality. Once again, when we cycle and we dwell on unforgiveness, it just drills deeper and we can lose ourselves. We can get consumed in resentment, anger, and rage. I saw over pandemic, people got so wrapped up in some stuff politically, it changed them and actually destroyed relationships in their families. Completely destroyed. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. What does that mean? That don't let it consume you. Don't let it define you. Don't wrap your personality in it. This bitterness changes our personality and damages relationships. Like I said, I had to do it. I had a full month where Satan was, it was a spirit because it was a constant berating attack of accusation all day long for 2 weeks. I started really counting when it started. Three weeks. First week, I was like, just going into it. Second week, I was like, this isn't natural. This is affecting my sleep. I am not able to sleep. I am becoming my ugliest self when their name comes up. I became ugly, ugly, nasty. I had to apologize. You have to just start. I choose to forgive them by faith. Doesn't make it okay. I choose to just bless them. Lord, I pray that you heal their heart, heal their mind, Lord God. I pray that you would just plant them in a church super far away from me. And I just pray they would fulfill the call of God in their life, Lord. That is the greatest blessing you could ever pray, is that someone has healing and peace and would fulfill the call of God in your life. But you don't have to do life with them every day. That's okay. It's okay. You know, they say, you know, turn the other cheek. I took kickboxing for 6 months in my life, okay? My husband's a very good boxer, not me. But I did learn to duck. The key to being a good boxer, guard your face. Okay, I'm in my dress here. But, you know, you got to get down there. Never drop your hands. Ever drop your hands, right? Okay? And when they swing at you, you duck. Be smart. Get out of the way. You don't have to hang out with them every day. You're just going to keep getting hit. So duck. All right, there's a youth lesson 101. All right. So continual, oppressive, and obsessive, tormenting, harassing, attacking thoughts when it's constant. Come on, how many people have been through it? Like, just constant. That's not normal, right? We have bad days. But when it's every day, all day long, like the moment your mind gets off a task and boom, do you remember what they did to you? Da-da-da, you're this, you're, attack. That's not natural. That is a spirit. It is a demonic assignment against your mind, okay? If you get pummeled day and night with that, the Holy Spirit is unmasking. It doesn't even take a rocket science to know this, okay? So if that spirit is specifically attached with is attached to unforgiveness, you know, read the word. The Lord will just show you. You'll be reading the word and you'll just see that person's face. I don't want to talk about it, God. We need to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Makes me cuss. Yes, we're going to work on that, but I need you to talk about it with me and let it go. Because remember, whatever the light reveals, it will heal. And we need our heart healed to be able to move forward, be healthy, and be fruitful in life. So listen, if something is harassing you, attacking you, it just gets you all the time, in the name of Jesus, you got to tell that creepy spirit to go. You got to take authority. So just call it what it does. If it's unforgiveness, your spirit of unforgiveness, demon of unforgiveness, you can call whatever you want. Get out in the name of Jesus and don't come back. Anger, rage, that's not who I am. You are not going to twist me and mutate me into something that's going to hurt me and hurt my family. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And then you need to repent. Repent means ask God to forgive you. Ready? For grabbing onto the what-if fantasy, for replaying that thing and obsessing about it over and over again. You just got to own your part of it. You dwelled on it. You gave it place. God, forgive me for just dwelling on it. Whew. And get built up in the word. It's what shuts the door and locks it. And I'll tell you, if you have spoken negative words, cursing at them, talk bad about them, just renounce it. Break those words in Jesus' name, because you're cursing them. Break those words, renounce it in Jesus' name. Ask God to forgive you. And we're going to change our ways and move forward. How many people like moving forward? I like moving forward. When you hang around someone that is stuck, it is miserable to be around them. It's just miserable. Every conversation, looping, cycling, and you just got to shower afterwards, all the negativity. We don't want to be that person. So it says to bless them in prayer. Luke 6, 27 through 28 says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Whew, yeah. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Doesn't sound like good people to let back in your life though, right? That's okay. You can forgive them and you don't have to hang out with them every day. Romans 12, 14 says, speak blessing, not cursing, over those who reject and persecute you. All right. So I want to tell you this. I've done counseling. I do counseling. I want to say this. Like, boundaries are really good. If someone is constantly, every time you get around them, just cutting you down, cursing you out, you're never going to be this, you're never that, you're just like your dad, you know what? Set a boundary. I'm going to just give just real practical advice. Start with a phone call. If they can handle about 10 minutes without attacking you, give them 11 the next time. But if they can't, give them 5. And if they can't at all, maybe it's not a good time to talk on the phone. Give it a couple months. Pray for them. Send them a Hallmark card with a little Dunkin' Donut gift card. I love you. I bless you. Amen. But you can't handle a phone call, right? Once they start being able to handle like that 10, 15 minute, 20 phone call, pray about it. Lord, is it a safe time? Is it a healthy time for them? Me, be blessing them, praying for them. Get together at fast food. Do you know why? Because it's fast. And there's 4 exits in all corners. I'm being real. 4 exits. There's a bunch of exit signs. You get your food in like 10 minutes. You can eat it in 10 minutes and you can get out of there, because if they start attacking you, guess what? We got the takeout bag. Just get it to go just in case, because God doesn't want you verbally or emotionally abused. let alone all the other horrific stuff, right? I'm giving you a little bit of action plan towards reconciliation, but a boundary says if they keep attacking you within that, you follow me. You got me? Okay. All right. Is that clear, Mom? Is that clear enough? Okay, wave at me. Okay, good. All right, just some practical stuff here. Sometimes I want to make sure a rabbit trail is clear. All right, healing. Okay, so I want to give you a page right out of my Bible school. So I'm going to talk about this, and it's just one of the many aspects. It does not mean that's happening. We live in a broken world full of disease. It is. It's everywhere. There's things in genetic makeups and stuff like that. We live in a broken world. Just because someone got sick doesn't mean they did anything wrong. It's just a dump, just Satan, broken world. Follow me? Is that okay? Got it? All right. But, so let me go on through this. Sometimes demons can block receiving healing breakthrough. Now, all you number people, who's a number person? Raise your hand. Okay. Sometimes statistics speak for themselves. Okay. There were 35 miracles documented that Jesus did. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 35 different miracles. Let's pay attention to some numbers here. Of the 35 miracles, 16 of them were for healing. That's like, oh, math. That's a lot. That's 16 of them, huge percentage. So that means healing is very important to Jesus, and he wants you healed. There is a reason. And he did all kinds of different miracles, provision miracles, feeding people miracles. He spent a lot of time healing people. You need to know it is Jesus' will to heal you. Okay, now I want to take something that people have run off and left field with, and let's look at the numbers here. 35 miracles that Jesus did, I'll examine more of them. 16 were for physical healing. Seven miracles were for deliverance where a demon was cast out. Still very important. God wants you to be free. God wants you to have a healthy life, healthy relationships. He doesn't want you under mental torment, right? He wants you healthy, right? Seven times a demon was cast out for deliverance. Here's something interesting. Of the seven deliverance miracles where a demon was cast out, four of them were attached to healing. Four of the seven times that a demon was cast out, four of those seven times was a demon blocking healing. That's interesting. 16 of them were just straight up simple healing. Pray hands. You just lay hands on somebody in the name of Jesus. I command COVID to go in the name of Jesus. We just release your healing power. You know, multiple sclerosis, whatever. In the name of Jesus, we just release your healing power. Right? Simple healing. But for some reason, and it wasn't always a certain kind of disease. In fact, there were overlaps that were just simple healing and other ones where it was a demon blocker. You ready with me? Like 20 minutes. Here we go. Let's do it. Right out of Bible school. All right. Sometimes demons can hinder healing, but it is the exception. It is not the precedence or the standard, and it is not giving you a formula. Did everybody hear me? Always assume healing unless otherwise told by the Holy Spirit. I was trained in that at Rhema. They said, listen, no matter what's going on in their body, always assume it's healing. Release the healing power of God unless the Holy Spirit reveals it. And he will. I'm going to give you some stories straight out of the Bible and out of some life stories here. So if you're praying for healing and there's just no results, ask the Holy Spirit why. Why? I don't know. Maybe we got to build our faith up. You know, maybe it's a demonic blocker. Maybe Satan's going to unmask something attached to it. You know, but it's not about finding blame or pointing the finger, because sometimes there are things called mysteries and we'll never know. And that's okay. I don't need to explain it away. I will get to the other side and spend eternity with Jesus, and we'll have that conversation there. I think people get very unhealthy when they're trying to, like, they just got to have every mystery explained, okay? We don't have it all figured out. Let's create space for that. Is that okay? All right. So, let's see here. All right, so the discerning of spirits. This is a gift. It's in 2 Corinthians. I gave you the reference, 14, let's see, 8 and 10. It is when God lifts the veil. So you see, like, let's just say there's a curtain over a window here, and God supernaturally lifts that little curtain, and you look into the spirit realm, and he will show you a demonic presence. And you don't have to be scared of them. I talked about it last week. My dad said this, Sherry, you don't need to be scared. They're just weird. They look like little Muppets, little imps. And it was true. I started seeing them, and I was like, oh, they're just weird. Like, you know, like, what was it, animal that played the drums or whatever, just weird looking, you know, a little weird, like the wild things are weird. Okay, but he will reveal it. Sometimes he will show it attached to something, maybe the physical thing that it's doing. I had a friend, oh, this is not my notes, time, focused, thank you, Lord. Anyway, thanks, Lord. You might be able to see it with your eyes. It might be like a little fuzzy daydream, kind of an impression. It might be a sense. A lady that spiritually mentored me, she would smell sulfur. It was weird. You might sense something. I had a friend that she was laying their hand on someone's back for like they had an illness that caused severe pain in their body, and something started moving under her hand. When she moved her hand, it would move. She'd go, oh, I know what that is. Told that thing to go. The lady was instantly healed, and that demon left. Okay, but it's you can't control this gift. It's as the Spirit wills. Truly. Ask it. Go, Holy Spirit, I want all you have for me. Give me every gift I can possibly use. But what he gives you, you can't control it. It'll just come in. But the more you stay in the Spirit, the more you stay saturated with him, it's a lot easier to tune in and not miss it. Okay, the next thing, very easy, and I'll tell you, God will identify things through a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge means a word, one word in the paragraph. Sometimes it's a little treasure hunt. He'll give you one word at a time. It's a piece of the puzzle about a current situation or a past situation. He might give you a flash vision. I've had this where I'm ministering to someone and just they're train wrecking their life. Oh my gosh. And I'm like, what is going on? And God, not in a judgment thing, I love them. And God will show me them doing something with someone else that just opened up that door. And I went, oh. And it's not to shame them, not to embarrass them. I don't say it in front of them in public of other people. I'll normally just pray with them privately, and I'll pray it in an answer tied away that doesn't rub their nose in it, right? It could be like a flash vision, a fuzzy daydream. It could be just Holy Spirit speaking to you from the inside, a foreign left field thought. You're like, that was so smart, it couldn't have been me. Word of knowledge. How many people get that? It's like your spouse sometimes. You're like, that was so smart. They actually say Holy Spirit sounds a lot like your spouse. You know, just this left field thought, right? And you're like, oh, that's good, God. That's totally you. All right. Now, if a spirit of infirmity or affliction is revealed by the Holy Spirit through these gifts, it's trespassing. You're a child of God. Tell it to go in the name of Jesus and don't come back. Very simple. If it's a non-Christian, guess what? God's will is healing for every single person. He wants them free. So guess what? You tell that spirit to go in the name of Jesus and don't come back. It'll be a sign and a wonder to them, and they'll give their life to Jesus. So it's for everybody. Healing. It's awesome. So is freedom. Same solution, really simple. In ministry training, I'll say this. I work a lot with non-Christians. I work a lot with people from very conservative denominations that they don't quite understand some things in our culture. So just ask them if I can put my hand on their shoulder. Do you know people put their hand on strangers' shoulders? It's hey man, you know, we shake hands or shake a hand or hold their hand, whatever. But if I feel like they're gonna push back or like not be, it's you know, the whole COVID thing, whatever. Maybe they have a mask on and they're 6 feet away. Me asking to put my hand on their shoulder is probably gonna make them shut down, right? Jesus spoke words. It's okay. But I try to put my hand as a point of contact. And if it's appropriate, you know what? Like if they're having problem with their vision, is it okay if I put my hand on your eye, right? Okay, so listen, when someone touches your face, what do you do normally? Shut down. Don't touch my face. Like the only person that can touch my face is my husband. And sometimes I'm like, that's greasy. What are you doing? I love you. I love you. Okay. No, come on. Faces are very intimate, right? So like going like this on someone's face, they're normally going to shut down and get out of faith. I want them to stay in faith. So just a little ministry training here. Ask if you can put your hand on the shoulder. It is a point of contact for the power of God to flow through you as a conduit and love, because it's a form of showing love and care, right? Remember you stand beside somebody and like someone just says, you know, that their relatives in the hospital. Sometimes you go, I'm sorry, man. And you just put their hand on your shoulder a little bit, right? And shake it a little bit. It's just part of our culture to show love. All right. So I had a really great conversation with a leader in our church, and they said, what about this whole thing where people say it's not good to lay, don't be quick to lay your hands on people if there's a demon involved. And people say, oh, they might jump on you. Baloney. So this is great. Read scripture in context. Okay, this is where they took it out of context. Don't be quick to lay hands on people. 1 Timothy 5:22, Amplified Bible. Do not hurry to lay hands on anyone. And then just stop reading. Like the whole, like, give and it will be given unto you. They stop reading. Read the whole thing. Don't hang up the phone. Love that message. Okay. Do not hurry to lay hands on anyone ordaining or approving someone for ministry or an office in a church, or in reinstating an expelled offender. It is in context to prayer and promotion to put someone that just walked off the street into your church into a leadership position. Because you don't know them, and they got all kinds of hurts and wounds from the last church they came from, and, you know, whoa, or maybe they're just really young and don't know stuff yet, so maybe don't put them in the head of the entire department. Okay, so don't be quick, because back then they would appoint leadership and blessing by putting hands on them. Remember, Nevin came up here, and we blessed him in his promotion and leadership? That's the context. Love that clarity. Everybody learn something? All right. So Luke 13, 10 through 17. I'm going to talk about four quick examples of how Jesus healed in different ways, and it's still associated with a demon blocker. So Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. This is Luke 13, 10 through 17. He saw a woman that had been crippled by an evil spirit. So that means either God showed it to him, what, through a discerning of spirits, or spoke it to him through a word of knowledge. And said she had been bent, doubled down for 18 years, unable to stand up straight. That's horrific to live your life like that. You can't work. You can't lift up your grandkids. God doesn't want you to live like that. It says, when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are set free from your infirmity, affliction, sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. And oh, how she praised God. Isn't it cool? Like, this isn't a public place. This is in the synagogue. This is in the church. He didn't shame her. He didn't ask 20 questions like, what'd you do that got you this way, blah, blah, blah. No, he, like, saw something that was causing, afflicting her, hurting her, a sickness, and he just wanted her free. He'd even go, you know, demon of, he just said, okay, what'd he say? He called it, this is interesting, he just called it what it was. He called it what it did. He said to her, "You are set free from your infirmity, affliction, and sickness." And then he touched her, and she was instantly straight. Now, this riled all the religious leaders because they don't like the supernatural going on in church. Well, get over it. Sometimes you got a little wildfire to have any fire at all, okay? God does wild things. So you did it on the Sabbath. You did it on Sunday. He said, "Should not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what has bound her?" Isn't that interesting? Matthew 9, 32 through 34. It says, a demon-oppressed man is what was described in the English Standard Version. Some say possessed, depending on what version you're reading. A demon-oppressed man couldn't speak and was brought to Jesus, so Jesus cast out the demon. And then the man began to speak, and the crowds were amazed. Really simple. He told the thing to go. Boom. Real simple, okay? Now, we don't know what caused it. I don't know. Was it a physical condition? Was it something with his voice box? I did some research online. You know, was it something with his muscles or in his brain? Was it an emotional traumatic event? I don't know. Jesus didn't really spend a lot of time on the cause. He told the thing to go in the name of Jesus. And that's just powerful. So just because someone can't talk, by the way, doesn't mean they have a demon. It could be an injury. It could be illness, okay? So release healing power and ask Holy Spirit what's going on. Why? Let's see. Thank you, Lord. Help me focus a little bit for time. All right. Matthew 12, 22. A man under the power of a demon, or demon oppressed, is said here, who was blind and mute. So he just prayed for someone that couldn't talk. There's no formula. Now there's someone else that can't see and can't talk. Was brought to Jesus, and he healed the man so that he could speak and see. It doesn't say how he did it. You know, sometimes I'll say Jesus saw that it was a demon at the root. It was attached to this illness. He healed the man. It doesn't say what method he used, but sometimes it's like a really cool simultaneous result where healing and freedom and deliverance happens all at the same time in the power of the name of Jesus. Isn't that great? Sometimes it's just real simple. But there's other things that happen. So there's no formula. Sometimes Jesus just used words. Sometimes he used mud and spit. And I'm like, thanks for just the words, Jesus. I appreciate it. Okay. I don't know why. But Mark 7, 32 through 34 is a different man, a different situation. And instead of just saying, hey, you're healed and whole in Jesus' name, he did this. Spits on his fingers. Touches someone else's tongue. We're married. We touched No, we kissed. The saliva. No, it's gross. It's weird. Why would you do that? I would. Come on, like your husband's and wife. You're like, no, we good. Okay, sharing toothbrushes is like that line in marriage when you know. And it's normally accidental at like 6 a.m. Like, I'm so sorry. I don't know. It's just gross. Touches the tongue and then sticks his fingers in their ear. That's like a wet willy. Okay. Ah, okay. Touches his tongue, sticks the fingers in the ears. Okay. And he's healed. So it tells us just he was mute and deaf as well, but God didn't, there wasn't a demon blocker there. It's just healing, and he did it in this weird way. Okay. All right. What's the key? Keep close to Jesus, build up in the word and faith, stay tuned into the Holy Spirit, and ask Holy Spirit what to do in every situation. Isn't that great? It's not a formula, it's a relationship. It's the great adventure of doing life and ministry, not for Jesus, but with him. With the Holy Spirit. Okay, Mark 9, 13 through 29. All right. Jesus asked them, What are you arguing about with these religious scholars? And we're still doing it. Okay. A man spoke up out of the crowd. Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. Interesting. One time it's healing, sometimes it's a demon. Okay. It says this, whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground, and then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Now, they're describing the modern day disease of epilepsy, right? Right? This is epilepsy. This is getting seizures, okay? So seizures are, I was trained this in Bible school. They said not all seizures and not all epilepsy is a demon behind it. Can we be very clear? Okay? It's a disorder of the brain. It's abnormal electrical brain activity. It's an electrical storm in your brain. It's triggered by flashing lights, lack of sleep, stress. So don't ignorantly cast out a demon when you see someone having a seizure. You will hurt their heart, cause all kinds of religious damage. I was trained in this in Bible school. They say you see someone drop to the floor of a seizure, don't you dare cast a demon out of them, okay? You pray for healing. Pray for healing, and you know, pray for healing in their brain. Okay, now if the Lord reveals something else, okay, if he says there's a spirit there, tell it to go in Jesus' name. You don't have to scream or shout or make a big thing, but tell it to go. But let's be clear here. All right, but the Holy Spirit did reveal to Jesus that there is a demon blocker here. All right, so Jesus said to the crowd, why are you such a faithless people? How much longer must I remain with you and put up with your unbelief? Now bring the boy to me. I don't have a lot of time, but I want to say this quickly. Emotional situations and crowds of naysayers will rattle your faith. It's the truth. Why did Jesus clear the room sometimes to do miracles? Listen, I'm going to be real. If you have a severe diagnosis, severe, big thing, Jesus is your healer, period. But be very careful having a hospital room crowded of naysayers that don't believe in healing and just speak and are trying to plan. I'm trying to be careful how I say this, but you guard the atmosphere around you, okay? Because that negativity can just rattle your faith and your heart. All right, so practice your faith. Pray for everyone with a common cold. Pray for everybody with allergies. Exercise your faith, because when a very big emotional diagnosis happens, you've exercised your faith for the small stuff to not get rocked. So when the big thing comes, it doesn't rock you, okay? I want to say this. We have a desperate father with a son that is horrifically scarred, we find out, because he's fallen into fire. So he has scars on his body. He's having seizures. If you've ever watched a child have a seizure, it like makes you want to cry. It's scary. It's so scary. You don't know what to stop. And so it's rattling. It rattles your emotion, especially someone so young suffering, let alone an adult. It's an emotional situation. It rattles your faith, okay? So it says this, verse 20, it says, so they brought the boy, and when the evil spirit saw Jesus, interesting, the moment the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. He fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked, how long has this been happening? And Jesus asked the father's boy, and he replied, since he was a little boy, and the spirit has often thrown him into fire and into water trying to kill him. So clue number one, there, Holy Spirit revealed to Jesus there's a demon at the root, but specifically when it was triggered at the name of Jesus. Interesting. Why is it, you know, you can have these all day long throughout the day, but why the moment in the presence of God? Interesting, okay? Clue number two, specifically, it triggers in situations trying to kill him. You know, is it a spirit of death attached to this spirit of infirmity, of sickness that's blocking his healing? I don't, you know, just interesting things. So the father says this, have mercy on us and help us if you can, exclaimed the father. What do you mean if I can, Jesus said. Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Guys, every person has been given a measure of faith. Every person. You can have a little faith or a lot of faith. God will work wherever you're at. Okay? He loves us. He wants us healed. He loves us. You know, we all struggle with faith and unbelief. Our faith and unbelief from the enemy is in constant opposition. They're at war with each other, and whatever you feed the most will win. So you need a steady diet of God's word, worship, and the power of a testimony. Surround yourself with people that build you up, encourage you, and share testimonies of God's incredible, healing, miraculous power, because it builds your faith. Verse 25, and when Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Just call the spirit what it does, command it to go in Jesus' name. Hit the road and don't come back. Real simple. Verse 26, and then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him, and the boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. So if the moment you pray for someone and they scream, they yell, they convulse, survey says, I don't know, but like, you know, it doesn't take a rocket science. You're like, maybe this probably isn't natural the moment I pray for someone. You know, this is a demon having a temper tantrum because it doesn't want to go. Just straight up. You ever had kids, you know, hey, you can't have the candy bar. No, they scream, they throw themselves on the floor. Who's in charge? You are. Okay. So I say this. Stay built up in the word, practice your faith, pray for everyone so when these things happen, it doesn't rattle your emotions and you don't back off. All right, when Jesus was alone in the house with the disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit? Jesus replied, this kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. The deeper those claws of the demonic go, and the more rooted it is in their identity, sometimes it just is a little harder. I don't know why. It stirs your emotions when they manifest. You know, you got to have strong faith and you have to walk closely with the Lord. You can't earn healing through good works. Did you know that? You can't earn healing by fasting. Fasting is not a diet. Fasting is pushing away distractions. Back then, the only distraction they had was wine and lots of food. They didn't have Netflix. So I will say this, you know, maybe eat more salad, but like really look at the things that distract you. And eat up your time and put that time spending with the Lord and build your faith up. Because it builds your core if you exercise it. So every person and situation is different. It's all the same answer in Jesus. So you have to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment, wisdom, direction for every individual. I want to share just, I'm closing, but I want to say this. Brian Coker, he's my friend, and he's helped me with the youth department for years, and he's in the kids department. There's a little girl in this church, and a sweet little girl, but she was plagued and horrifically suffering with seizures. It was constant, and her parent was just like, did not know what to do, and they're taking her all these doctors, and it's just so emotional, you can't make it stop. How many parents can you imagine? Your little girl is just plagued all the time having seizures. So Brian asked the parent, he said, can I pray for them? Just want to pray for them. And the dad's like, yeah, that's okay. So he picked up the little girl and just paced around, just within the father was looking, just pacing and just praying for this sweet little girl, and gave her back. It'll be 3 years Thanksgiving. She's never had a seizure since. If you ever met Brian Coker, you should. He's a good man. He's got a father's heart, and he saw a father that was suffering, and he just took the little girl in his arms and prayed and released the healing power of God. Never had a seizure again. For the sake of time, real short, there is a young boy in the youth group, and I've known him for about a year now. And I ran into him and his friends, and I said, hey, what's going on? What's new? And he goes, you know, it's a good week, but I got to go tomorrow to get an MRI. And I said, well, why do you need an MRI? He goes, they can't figure it out, but I get seizures. And they don't know what's going on, so I got to do an MRI tomorrow. And I shared the story of Brian praying for that little girl and how she never had a seizure ever again. I said, you know, Jesus doesn't play favorites. If he did it for her, he'll do it for you. He wants to heal. Can I pray for you? He said, sure. I said, can I put my hand on your shoulder? And I got his two friends that he's with to put their hands on his shoulder too. It was in a public place. And I just prayed a really simple prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you. It is your will for this young man to be healed. And Lord, we just release your healing power into his body and into his brain. And we just thank you for healing his brain and that he, whatever's causing these seizures would just go in Jesus' name. When I said in Jesus' name, my hand was on him, my eyes were closed, and he convulsed four times. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I went, oh, that is different. I've known him for a year. He's never had a seizure in front of me. The moment I prayed in the name of Jesus. So it was weird. And I just went, that could be a clue. So I didn't make it weird. I just said, any spirit that is hindering and causing these seizures, I command it to go right now in Jesus' name. Just real simple. Because something was revealed. It was a little different. I'm not saying it was there, but that was a little weird the moment I said the name of Jesus. And I wasn't screaming and shouting. It just with his friends were there. And opened his eyes, and there was just so much peace and love and a beaming smile. Guys. God's will is for you to walk in healing and freedom. You are to have a conversation with the Lord. So let's stand up. I started a conversation, and I want you guys to finish it with the Lord. Always assume healing unless the Holy Spirit tells you otherwise. But I say this whole thing is about us starting a conversation with the Holy Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, is there something blocking the breakthrough in my life? Is there something blocking me walking in just that thing I've been praying for, Lord? Is there something just blocking my marriage just being healthy? Is there something blocking the relationships and friendships in my life? Holy Spirit, is there something just blocking me, just walking in emotional healing, whatever it may be? If you're struggling things in your body, I'm not saying it could be a mystery, I don't know, but this is a conversation you have with the Lord, right? Do you hear me? Not everything's a blocker, but we need to talk to him. So I'm gonna say this, just close your eyes and we're gonna pray, but I'm gonna say this, you know, maybe it could be something, maybe you're being disobedient about stuff. I'll tell you, the greatest breakthrough you ever do is go back and do the last thing God called you to do. I'll tell you, there's tremendous breakthrough in just being obedient. If there's some wisdom that the Lord has revealed through doctors, through friends, and you need to take care of certain things in your life and your finances and your body, repent to the Lord and just do what you're supposed to be doing. If you've made inner vows where you've been like, you know what, I swore I would never fall in love again, or I'd never, you know, let another man close to me, or I'll never move, I'll never get another job. You know, Satan can really attach itself to those words. Just break those vows. And real talk, if there is an area of unforgiveness in your life, we're going to pray. So if the altar team can come forward, if you would like someone to pray with you, we would love to just pray with you. We love you. But we're just going to pray this. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes and just say this, Father God, in Jesus' name, search my heart. If there's anything that grieves you, Lord, is there anything hurting myself or other people? Show it to me. If there's someone I need to forgive, show me, Lord. Show me how to walk out that forgiveness. Just talk to him. Talk to him about that person you keep thinking about. That name, that face, that why I'm preaching about unforgiveness just keeps coming to mind. And just say, I forgive him in faith. I bless him. I pray they have rest and peace and healing, Lord. Fulfill the call of God on their life. In Jesus' name. Help me to forgive him by faith, Lord. I take the steps now. And Lord, we just give you any just traumatic flashbacks or memories. God, we just nail it to the cross right now in Jesus' name. Our eyes are on you. We are moving forward. Like when Jesus set that woman free, he said, woman, your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. We're not going back. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you.
Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are loved. We are family, and we're all growing together, and we're in this together. If you'd, like I said, want someone to pray with you, talk with you, we're here, and you're dismissed. We love you guys.